Welcome to Seagull Eagle, the podcast where two rivals meet, Crystal Palace and Brighton, where Croydon's skyline towers over Brighton's dodgy beach huts.
Great. This week, it's international break, but no rest for us. We're back with lots to discuss, including
previews of Palace versus Bournemouth and Brighton beat Newcastle. Neil makes a sweeping statement, can't wait for that. And it's my turn to guess the mystery footballer in VAR.
Plus, we'll take a look at how both teams have done in the opening part of the season. Oh, really? And reassess where we think we might end up.
This is Seagull Eagle.
Hello, Andy.
All right, Neil.
How you
back
doing?
Again.
Yeah,
mate. I'm all right. International break.
Yes. So no real football to talk about.
Well, some would say a chance to regroup.
I would very much welcome that, mate.
Yeah. And for some teams, sack the group and start again, potentially. But do you know what just makes me happy? You know, regardless of any pain that we're feeling right now, you know, disappointment from previous results or, you know, not winning games, whatever it would be, neither of us are having a bigger nightmare than Nottingham Forest. And that, to me, makes me happy because I didn't get a chance to talk about it in this last podcast, but just the joy, and no one should get joy out of other people's misery, but I think the Palace fans can absolutely take pride in the fact that they're wasting our European spot and they should have just stuck with the competition that they qualified for. It's just lovely to see both Premier League and European form.
Oh, come on. Let's talk about that European game just for a split second.
Go on.
The Weasels losing 3-2 at home. I mean, I think it was, they got one back, so it ended up 3-2, but just the misery in the ground. And did you hear what the fans were singing?
Getting sacked in the morning.
Their own fans, Forest's own fans, to Postecoglou. I mean, look, as time recording, he's still in his job, let's say that.
But do you know what the funniest thing is the face of Marinakis. That is the funniest thing out of it all. Like, the fact that the fans were chanting to sack the manager was nothing to me looking at his face going, you did this, my friend. This was you, right?
And I don't think there's many people out there, whether it be in social media, whether it be a fan of Forest or whether they be a fan of any other team, that didn't look at that whole situation of Nuno leaving and Postecoglou coming in and going, that is such a strange decision.
Well, we were just talking about this off air.
Yeah.
And I think I said to you, I was like, mate, if you didn't see that coming, you're stupid. Because I certainly saw a big runoff on form and some ridiculous goals going in and them doing really, really badly for a period of time. So this is probably going to backfire on us because he might get sacked before he... But then again, I don't know, he might be given at least one more game. But
surely they've got to keep him going because Marinakis can't be seen to be that wrong straight away. He's got to see it out, surely. I mean, you never know. Maybe. He might get relegated, fingers crossed.
I mean, that would be lovely, wouldn't it?
This isn't a Nottingham Forest podcast, so we need to move on.
What is wonderful, though, Neil, is it's something that we actually agree on.
Fair point.
A Brighton fan and a Palace fan both think that Marinakis is an absolute...
So what are we going to talk about this week, did we say?
We've got a couple of fun features. We've got a swooping statement from you later on where I'm going to get my violin out to accompany your misery, which I'm sure is going to be a bit of a whinge about the current state of affairs at Brighton.
It most definitely is.
There we go. So that's something for everybody to look forward to. I think it's my turn on VAR, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I've prepared a nice VAR for you. We're going to love this one. Anyone doesn't know anything about that, we'll explain it at the time, don't you worry, you can all play along.
Yeah, but I think first of all, seen as there's kind of this natural gap in proceedings for the international break, it feels like, what are we now, seven games in? So I think seven games from a scientist would be a good sample size, right? a decent sample size to go, early indications, and they are only that, Neil, yeah, right? Because we all know that with seven games to go, you win two in a row and you jump up quite a lot of space in the league, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it's a good sample size. I think everyone's now kind of come across some good teams, played some of the lower teams, had a few surprises along the way.
Yeah. Well, look, so we're about what? Just about a fifth into the league. That's the best way to look at it,
okay,
I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what, how are we going to do this then?
Well, should we just have a little chat? I mean, who do you want to start with?
I definitely don't want to start.
All right, we'll start with Palace if you want.
Go on then.
Well, look, yeah, seven games in.
Yeah.
1-3, drawn 3, lost 1.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? In my head, this sounds ridiculous. This is how much actual research I do for this pod. I thought it was going to be a lot worse for me for that. So you've actually only won 3.
The funniest thing is,
it feels like you've won like 28 or something from the way you talk every week.
The difference being, though, is that you add in your cup games, your European games, and the fact that obviously the back end of last season, we've had that run going for nearly 6 months up until meeting Everton. The positive story about Palace does feel a little bit more than win 3, drawn 3, lost 1.
Okay. So
also, 1-3, drawn 3, lost none sounds a lot better. Do you get what I'm saying?
It really does. It really does. Yeah. Okay, so 1-3, drawn 3, lost 1.
So that's 12 points.
12 points. Goal difference of plus 4, and obviously 6th in the table, as we talked about last time. So let's talk about the games a little bit for a second, because I think one of the things I wanted to point out, which I envy at, is the amount of clean sheets or the amount of goals that you've let in a game. So Everton was the first time this season you've conceded 2 goals in a game.
Yeah.
You've kept a clean sheet against Chelsea, clean sheet against Villa, clean sheet against Sunderland. That's not bad in your first 7 games already.
Not bad at all. And I think when goals have gone in, it's been a ridiculous error. Or, like something that you look at and go, you can't really do much about that.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't think... Like, let's be honest, the defence has been the catalyst of our success and the obviously the system that's being played, but the defence has kind of been the starting point of this, which is we ain't going to let anyone in, but we're also going to break really quickly and scare them on the break. And luckily we've, no luck in it at all, but the system that we're playing, the players that we've got, has been able to get really good chances. We've been creating great chances up front, mate. And I think we talked about it in the podcast last week. If you look at 0-0 Chelsea, right? We had that Mark Gaye in the wall situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Where that goal was disallowed. And every single game I've watched since, there's been a player within 1 metre of the wall, which has never been looked at. Still not over that, mate. That would have changed everything for us right now. We'd be sat second in the league. Just these fine margins, I'm sure Brighton have got plenty of them.
But
0-0 at Chelsea was a convincing game for us, one of which we should have won our first game of the season. The 1-1 at Forest, we created an abundance of chances in that game and settled for a draw, which, again, you take the point, carry on the unbeaten run at that time. Then we did take our chances at Villa in that 3-0 win and were mightily convincing, as we always are.
That was a real statement, I think. Third week of the season, that was quite a statement, I think. 3-0 away at Villa. I mean, I know Villa are having a bad start, but at that moment, we didn't realise that, really.
No.
You know? And I think that was a really... I mean, there were some really good goals in there as well.
But it was the nature of the win,
I think.
It was the nature of the win, and that was kind of... I mean, I know, obviously, we played them in the FA Cup on the run-up to it, and Sarr kind of got his goals and everything. But I think it was kind of the 3-0 win was the first time this season we've seen Palace let rip.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was lovely. It was really, really nice. And then, of course, the 0-0 at Sunderland was frustrating because, again, I didn't feel, and I'm biased, but I didn't feel like that was a just result. We walked out of there.
I remember you talking about the goalkeeper, Roofs, and just saying like he was just unplayable.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, I don't think anyone independently can argue that the 3 points probably shouldn't have gone our way there, apart from the fact that their keeper had an absolute blinder. And then, of course, you move on to West Ham, 2-1. I think we deserved that. I don't think there was any shock. The Liverpool game, 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely your best performance of the year, probably.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
So your first six games of the season, whether we won them or not, I think we performed really, really well.
I think you're absolutely right, to be completely honest with you. I'd love to be cutting here, but I'm not in a place of strength to even say too much. I think you're in a sweet spot at the moment, aren't you, where you've got the beginning of the season, you've got a relatively same side as you started with last season, or at least you finished with last season, I should say. Everyone knows their job, everyone knows what they're doing, and you've just continued as you were doing last season, and you've done really well in that sense.
Well, we did talk about this at the start. Do you remember when we were doing our how do we think it's going to go thing?
Yeah.
And you were quite rightly questioning our transfer policy, how late we'd left it, all the other bits and pieces. And the only thing that I had to kind of stick to, which I vocalised quite heavily to you, was about having the same team that did well last year start a new season, player for player, ain't the worst thing.
No.
Because everybody else is trying to bed in all their new players and all the other bits and pieces, and we got the ground running. I think my only, apart from obviously that 2-1 loss, which we spoke about last week, my only real criticism, if you can even have one.
Well, I was going to get to that. I was going to ask about sort of generally at the moment, everything sounds fantastic and it's all going really well. But at this point, as we're doing a review, you know, what is there that maybe there's still work to be done, or what are the things that are still grinding at you a little bit, or you're concerned about? What are the negatives?
It's really hard to, and it sounds like an absolute dickish thing to say, but it's hard to find negatives because this is factually the best period of being a Crystal Palace fan that there ever was.
Yeah, I take that.
Right,
I'm still pushing you. There must be stuff.
But there is, because again, you have to be, you got to put it all into perspective, can't
you? Yes, of course.
Right? And I'm trying really hard to do that. I think what my only concern is, we are now at the point where we are creating a massive amount of chances in a game on the counter.
Yeah.
Fast breaking. We've got that bit down to a T. Mm-hmm. We've got the defenders and the central defenders from the halfway line playing some brilliant balls into the opposition box. We've got the wingers creating absolute havoc. Kamada, Pino, Wharton all are creating brilliant chances and doing it in a really, really classy way.
Starting to see where this is going now.
The one thing that we're not doing is getting a good percentage of goals from the chances that we're creating.
Right.
Now, I'm sure there's many reasons for that. And also, we are Crystal Palace, Neil. Right? So this is the bit you've got to put into perspective. But when you're watching the game and you're looking at them balls flying in and the near misses, and I think that's the point. That's the point, which is, it is a little bit, and I know I use this terminology quite a lot, but it's that flick a coin. When the player strikes the ball on target, someone can throw themselves into it, the keeper's got a 50-50 chance, which way's he going, which way's the wind blowing, which way's the ball being hit, and you know, all the other bits and pieces come into play, don't they? And I just think that we've, even though we've had luck on our side, I think that the likes of Mateta, say for example, who's been on form recently and has had a bit of a dip off form, believe it or not, I think that he's had a little bit of a tough couple of weeks.
Okay.
But yet, Eddie Nketiah is coming off the bench and scoring some goals now. And then you've got other people who, like Munez and players like that, who seem to be having a little bit more of a crack at goal. Mitchell is scoring goals. Gay is scoring goals. Our goals are coming from other places. But the big man in the middle, who, and we play that one striker up front, right? He needs to be in that box. It feels like I haven't seen him score a good one-on-one run at the keeper for a while, and that was his speciality.
Right. I mean, I take your point there, and I see what you mean. I think one thing I would say, though, although I did laugh at your transfer policy and the fact that you didn't hardly bring in any players, and I think that will come to bite you on the bum a little bit later on in the season.
Let's see.
But you did go into the striker market and you did buy a new forward. The new kiddie. Is it Uche? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, I mean, he plays across the whole front line.
But he could play as a striker, I presume. He's quite a big lad as well.
It's very Mateta-esque.
Exactly. So maybe, maybe at some point he may get a few more minutes and start scoring some goals too.
Yeah, or we adapt to a slightly different style with Eddie, because Eddie's clearly got some goals in him.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Look, please, like Palace fans, if I was going to get a player on the back of my shirt, it would probably be Mateta.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the guy.
Think he should be dropped?
No. Far from it.
Not good enough.
He's trying to find a story here. There's no story to find. What I've talked about
is... find a goal is what you're saying.
No, well, he has, isn't he? He has scored.
Not this season much.
I think the point being is that he's not as prolific. And I think a couple of the sources in the media after the Everton game, where the world watched him miss two really clear-cut chances, I think we talked about... he's missed 7 out of 9 clear-cut chances this season so far. Mm. I think the media are kind of saying, was he overperforming before? Has he now gone back to his norm? I don't think that is the case. I think that he will go back to the levels that he was if the service continues. I just think he's a bit of a tough run because, mate, he's been performing ridiculously.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Let's give the guy a break. And also, I enjoy him because... he is my TikTok scrolling guilty pleasure, watching him say fantastic in about 20 different ways, shouting at the camera after a win or a hard-fought draw or whatever it is. I just love the guy because he's a lunatic. And he just must be brilliant to be in that dressing room with. So no bad vibes to Mateta at all. I just think he's had a bit of a dip.
Okay, so 12 points, 6th in the table. If you were going to give him a school grade, Crystal Palace, for their first 7 games... how have they done this semester?
It's annoying because 6 in the table is the lowest we've been for a while. And we've decided to do it this week.
Yep.
I'd go for an A.
An A. Okay, cool.
I mean, you can get an A star. Can you still get an A star?
You can get A minus, yeah, B plus.
No, I'd go for an A. A.
I think that's fair to
be
honest.
If you told me that we've been second in the league twice this season, that we would beat Liverpool and rack up 12 points and be there or thereabouts within 3 or 4 points of Champions League. Mm. Like, I mean, any Palace fan would have absolutely bitten your arm off for that. So if you think about it like that, and you look at how we finished the season last time as well, you've got to start thinking, and you know, we joked about it 2 weeks ago where I was singing Champions League and all the other stuff. But even the bookies are giving Palace some decent odds to finish top 6 now. And I'm not saying that...
it's not happening, mate.
No, I'm not
Champions League. It's not happening.
I'm not saying that it will.
See,
what I am
saying... You're saying the words, it's not happening, but I can see your face.
No.
Listeners, I can see his face, and there's this little glint in his eye.
Well, what I'm saying
he actually thinks it's possible.
It could.
No, it can't.
But did Leicester...
Don't do the Leicester thing. Everyone brings out the Leicester thing. 1 in a billion chance.
Who thought Nottingham Forest to be in the Europa League last season?
I mean, no one until about August.
Who would have thought Brighton would have qualified for Europe the season before?
I don't think Europe is out of the question. I've said that before. I just think you can't be serious with Champions League. Because this season as well, it's probably only going to be the top 4. It's not going to be 5th either.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm not saying I'm being serious. I'm just saying I don't think... I mean, if we continue on the form that been having...
if you do, yeah.
Right? And luck is going to come into this, injuries and all the other bits and pieces, but I don't know what the ceiling is this year.
Okay.
The only thing I'm a little bit nervous about, Neil, is we've just lost our first game in 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's the bit where if you look at our fixtures to come, we'll talk about our next game. I think we've got Bournemouth. I think we're playing Arsenal. We've got Liverpool in the Cup. They're our next 3 games.
Yeah.
Not pleasant.
Suddenly, if you lose a couple of those, it looks a little bit different, doesn't it?
That's my point.
Yeah,
That's my point. So momentum has
got to
keep going. But Mateta's going to get a rest, isn't he? No, he's not. He's playing for France.
He won't play for France.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, mate.
What about Brighton? So,
do we have to talk about them?
Well, no, I think I'd like to, Neil, because could you just remind me, where are you in the league right now?
Crystal Palace?
Yeah. Okay.
12th.
And 1 drawn, lost?
We've won 2. And obviously that was against Chelsea and Man City. because that's what we do.
Which is ridiculous.
There you go. It's not. It's exactly what we do. We play well and beat the big teams. And then the other 17 teams in the league, we decide to do nothing against. Drawn three. Those draws were Spurs at home. Obviously, most recently, Wolves away. And first day of the season, Fulham 1-1, which was a very poor result because we were one up and they scored right at the end of the game. Mm. And then lost two. The two are Everton, Hill Dickinson Stadium. That happens, doesn't it, Andy?
Hard place to go, mate.
Yeah. And away again at Bournemouth. So,
which, again, to be brutally honest, isn't shameful.
It's not, no.
We'll talk about that later.
It's not shameful.
They are doing the best they've ever done.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're absolutely right there. I would say it's a strange one, right? Because we're seven games in really early and I shouldn't be making snap decisions. But I've also got to look at the fact that this isn't Hörsler's first season. This is, you know, his beginning of his second season.
Theoretically,
this is the season in the sense that if you think about most managers, they come in the first season, they try and do their thing and they get players up to speed and they try and learn the new way of working and the training changes and some injuries happen. And to be fair, last season we got a lot of injuries and a lot of that could be down to the change in training and the intensity. And then you get the summer and then you get the players coming back and the manager's more comfortable with the club and everybody understands their role better, Andy, is the idea. And everybody understands the pattern of play, as you can allude to here with Glasgow and Palace.
Of course.
Second season, people start to understand what their roles are.
It's great games to get us on our run.
There you go. So I'm expecting, if you remember right at the beginning of this season, we did a preview pod and started talking about what we expect for the season and the fixtures and all that sort of stuff. And I was really, really positive. And I was thinking to myself and hoping that all of that natural progression through the season before will come out at the beginning of the season. We'll start to see a real solid pattern of play and the players from last season will understand everything better and we'll get a really head start. We had some relatively apparently easy fixtures, if you remember. We had that conversation.
You did have statistically the easiest, and I think, well, not the easiest, but one of the easiest. And I think Palace had the opposite to
exactly,
that, didn't they?
Exactly. So we opened our account on the first day against Fulham, 1-1, as I was saying earlier. That was, you know, a very disjointed, but first day of the season, I think a lot of clubs and players and teams will be quite disjointed on the first day. And I sort of don't worry too much about
that. But I think you kind of got out of that what you put in, didn't you?
But there you go. We got to the point where we were ahead. We got a goal and we conceded a goal literally in the last 30 seconds of the game. Second game, we're the first team at the Hill Dickinson Stadium.
Yeah.
And we now know, with a little bit of hindsight, seven games in, that playing Everton is actually a lot more difficult this season than it would have been the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And playing them at home in the new stadium is a lot more difficult than it would have been in the last few seasons. So, yes, it wasn't a great performance, absolutely. 2-0 loss. And I think that was a real disappointment in the sense of the way that we played. We created lots of chances, but wouldn't have scored if we'd stayed there all day.
No.
Third game, and suddenly we're playing Man City. And it sounds ridiculous to say, but we always play well against Man City. And the reason we play well against them is because they play good football and they go for it and they try and attack. And it's a way of playing that seems to suit our players' brains. Plus, I think they're suddenly the underdog and it's not as important. No one expects them to win. So lo and behold, what happens? Yes, we go one down, but we come back. Win 2-1.
That was a hell of a comeback.
It was a great comeback. You know, Hörsler made those changes on the hour and suddenly, you know, Jorginho Rutter, et cetera, et cetera. We all know what happened. But we then get those 3 points and we're thinking, oh, okay, 4 points from three games. Maybe we're starting to turn. We're getting into a bit of form. Away to Bournemouth. Yes, okay, it's a difficult place to go sometimes for a lot of teams. And Bournemouth are excellent this season so far. But we didn't really show up too much. A couple of really bad decisions, a couple of really bad injuries, bad luck from our perspective. But again, a disjointed performance. Quite a few players still not showing that they're getting into form, in particular players like Matoma, players like Belaba, Welbeck. You know, the things aren't quite clicking, not sure what's to happen. Then Spurs was the next game at home. And 2-2 doesn't sound too bad against Spurs. They're playing, I think they're third or fourth in the league. They're playing quite well this season. But then you remember that we were 2-0 up.
Well, this is a bit of a theme, isn't it, Neil?
It is, mate. It really is. We are conceding goals. Even so that, you know, we went to Chelsea, and although as a standalone result, I'm ecstatic about beating Chelsea, the first hour of that game was very even, but mostly Chelsea. Like, there was a little bit more of chances for Chelsea.
When you say even, though, not the amount of players on the pitch.
No, and that, I agree, mate. And suddenly, we, you know, they lose a player and we took control. And I'm glad that we did. I'm glad that they had the mentality and understood what they needed to do. But that was a very rare moment in our season so far.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know I rib you on it, and I can't take that result away from you, because it happened and you made it happen. And teams that are one man down don't necessarily lose. But I think it's hard to look at that as in perspective of the rest of it. It's a bit of an anomaly, isn't it?
That kind of
game is how it all ended up. And then obviously then you had your draw with Wolves, which we heard about last week. It's a bit weird, isn't it, mate?
What it is completely disjointed. And there are, I mean, I've said this a few weeks in a row now, where we've got obviously a lot of young players, but we've also got some experienced players. And the experienced players currently, and well, not all of them, but the majority of them, are not in good form. And so it's making a real impact on us. But I'm not just going to blame the players. I don't think that's fair to. I think when you look at the fact that, you know, yes, we have 9 points, but our goal difference is 0. In other words, we have scored as many as we've let in.
Yeah.
We are horrendous as a team, and with a mentality of not conceding goals. It's such a frustration that we get to this point in the season and there are so many people talking about what is happening at Brighton. As fans, so many conversations going on and so much uncertainty. So much so that, you know what? I think I'm just going to go into my swooping statement, if that's all right.
Go for it, mate.
Yeah? Okay, everyone, it's time for this.
Swooping statement of the week.
Welcome to Swooping Statements, where we dive into the bold, the unpopular, and the controversial opinions about our beloved clubs. In this feature, we'll challenge the status quo and take a long, hard look at the takes that might ruffle some feathers. I've got a feeling that's going to happen today. Whether it's a hot take about tactics, player performances, or even club management, we're not afraid to stir the pot and have a tough conversation. So buckle up, people. It's time for some swooping statements that might just make you rethink everything you thought you knew. It's Neil's turn this week. Neil, what have you got for us?
Okay, here it is. Under Fabian Hursler, Brighton and Hove Albion have lost their playing identity and are in danger of becoming an inconsistent, dull, lower half team.
Neil,
mm-hmm.
My immediate response to that is that is incorrect. You already are an inconsistent, dull, and bottom half team. You're sat in 12th.
Shut your face.
Which is exactly where I thought you would be at this stage
of
the game.
Shut your face. Look, Fabian Hursler has managed Brighton now for 54 games.
That's a lot of games.
With a win percentage of 47%, which actually is miles ahead of all our previous Premier League managers. I think De Zerbi is closest with around 37, 38%.
Can I just reference, though, that this is all about expectations?
Yep.
Right? And I don't want to, I don't want to kind of go off track here, because I know you're going to carry on with your rant. But 12th in the league, mate, 9 points from 7 games, that's where you should be.
As a Palace fan, I know you'd be happy with 12th. We wouldn't. Listen, we have had an unpredictable start to the season, and there are still lots of questions from Albion fans about his coaching, his playing style. Let's take playing style, right? For example, this is probably the biggest issue for Albion fans at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
In the last 15 years, we have always had a clear DNA, a possession and short passing style game. Managers like Gus Poyet, Graham Potter, Roberto De Zerbi have really helped to embed that DNA of who we are along our journey. Currently, there are a large section of fans who are just not sure what our current playing style is, and I'm one of them. Whilst You can admire the hard work and the desire to do well from the players. It's difficult to understand the tactics and the overall plan sometimes. The fans, though, are not the only ones to be confused. In fact, only recently, it was reported that Karu Mitoma spoke to the Japanese reporters after the Chelsea game and was quoted as saying, "I didn't know what I was supposed to do in the first half, and neither did my teammates."
That's a worry.
That is embarrassing. It's embarrassing to hear as a fan, but more is probably a bigger worry to Tony Bloom and Paul Barber. So what is Hurslebol? Does the manager have the ability to coach these players with clear enough instructions? Do we have a DNA anymore? Now, he hasn't been helped by a number of senior players being out of form, I know. And, obviously, the sale of Albion's best attacker in João Pedro, without really any such like-for-like replacement. But you also have to look at the decisions that he has made himself. Matt O'Riley being shipped off to Marseille on loan after one season at Albion, mysteriously on the last day of the window.
That was a weird one.
Assisting with Mats Wiefer, a CDM, at right back.
Yeah, that is a weird one.
Even though our current CDM, central defensive midfielder, is way out of form, he won't play Wiefer there, he wants to play him at right back. Right, this season's constant changing of lineups also suggests he's searching for something himself. This season, Albion have conceded the first goal in 5 of their 7 league games. So clearly, something is not going right in match preparation or the starting lineups. So the questions remain. Is Hurzler the right man for the job? If he is, then what is the tactical plan and playing style? Can he coach our players back into form? Well, one thing's for sure. Bloom and Barber, they won't make any rash decisions, but they will already know the next manager candidate. Even if the results are terrible, something has to improve the on-field displays, let alone the results. Fabian, it's over to you.
Neil, that was quite a little rant there. I haven't heard you ask so many questions without answering them. And there's a lot to digest there, mate. Are you okay?
Honestly, I'm fine, mate. I am. I think what it is I think there's a little bit of reality suddenly biting for Brighton fans at the moment. Or let me just talk about myself. I don't think it's fair to jump everybody in the same bucket. But I think we have been on a fantastic journey over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
We have been, in the last 4 to 5 years, lauded as a fantastic club, and we still are. A great community club. We do lots of things. We've got a fantastic way of buying and selling players. Our transfers are amazing. And oh God, Brighton have found another one. Our manager market has done pretty well as well. Mm-hmm. Graham Potter got poached by Chelsea. Roberto De Zerbi is now joint top of league. We know they're great managers, and they go, and then we get the next one in and we go, okay, well, we have faith because Brighton know what they're doing, right? And it may still turn out to be a masterstroke and he may still be a fantastic manager. But I think we're right at this moment, at that point in time where it could go either way. And I think you're just starting to see from other fans, from social media, from listening to people as well, the number of people that are talking about the same thing means it's not just hearsay, right? We all are struggling with understanding what Brighton are at this moment, what type of style we want to play.
I get it.
And it's not about results, mate. It really isn't. Like, as Brighton fans, we have a DNA, or we have had a DNA. And I think that's all we want. We want to see the way that we play on the pitch. We want to see the players playing hard with a certain style of sorts. And at the moment, we can't see it. And the play style is one thing. And then the second thing is, the players aren't playing very well together. So whose fault is that?
No, mate, I get it. I absolutely get it. I think that he's got a lot to prove. And because I had a follow-up question for you, which you kind of a little bit answered there, yeah. Which is, right, and I joked with you earlier, but also there's a little bit of truth in this for me.
Go on.
Like, without even being, you know, that Palace fan trying
just
to stick the boot
just
in.
Just say it.
Well, 12th in the table, yeah, after 7 games, 9 points.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
quite a few draws in there. Mm-hmm. Three draws, two wins, two losses.
Yeah.
That's not a disaster.
It's not, mate.
Right?
I'm not worried about...
Yeah, yeah. But like, what I'm trying to get at with that one is like, you got 9 points, you've not got a minus goal difference. You are Brighton. You're not Liverpool. You're not Arsenal. You're not Tottenham. You're not Man City.
I agree.
Like that, you are at the top of the bottom half of the table. Palace and Brighton have historically been somewhere between the middle of the pack.
Andy, I don't give a monkey's about the position in the league. Yeah. I don't give a monkey's about the points on the board.
So, but that's going to be my question, right? Would you take the better football, right? So what I'm trying to say is, if what you'd seen from the team in terms of on the pitch,
yep,
right, was more cohesive,
yep,
but yet the results were still the same, i.e. you'd still got 9 points and 12th in the table, but the style and you had your identity.
Honestly, mate.
You'd be happy, would you?
Honestly, mate, I'd take 3 points and our identity. And I mean that from the heart.
Okay.
I have watched Brighton over the last 5 seasons, right, play a certain style, play it with some real brave sort of defending, really brave passing out from the back, and really everyone, you know, pulling together, every player understanding what's needed from them, playing really good football. And sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it does, okay? But the point is, we have an identity, and that's really important for a football fan. It's really important to say, my team does this. This is what we do.
Oh, I'm proud of our identity.
Exactly. You know what your identity is.
Didn't for years, to be fair.
But you do now.
I do now, and I'm proud of it.
And it's successful, and it's working. But even if it wasn't successful, you would understand what you're trying to do.
Get it.
I don't. And there's quite a few people like me.
Yeah.
We don't really get what we are. And that is the frustration. And more of a concern is I'm starting to think that some of the players don't know what we are. And that really is a problem.
It's a bit like having a product without a brand, isn't it?
Yep.
And that's quite worrying. Yeah. Okay, mate, I get it. And do you know what, though? As you say, Brighton have got, unfortunately, got a history of proving the doubters wrong. And let's see if Hurstler comes good.
Swooping statement of the week.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
Right, I got that off my chest.
For those of you listening, I actually thought he was going to cry at one point earlier. the poor guy is like, even...
I'm passionate, mate.
As a Palace fan, sat in a room with a Brighton fan, watching him just melt down. And, you know, like, I mean, the questions such as, who actually are we? And things such as that.
It's very existential, isn't it?
It's wonderful to watch, but hard to watch. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad we've had a break because we can just regroup. Neil can get a grip and we'll move on. What are we moving on to, Neil?
We're going to have a bit of fun now. Well, I say fun. We're all going to laugh at you. You can't understand who your Palace players are. That's the plan. Anyway,
it's we're going to play like your manager.
Hey, I think it's time for a bit of this.
VAR.
Who are you?
Welcome to VAR, Very Anonymous Recruit, the Seagull Eagle guessing game where we try to spot the mystery footballer hiding in plain sight. This week, I am the Quizmaster. And Andy becomes a confused wreck trying to guess who it is. All based on 5 cryptic clues about a current player from, well, this week, Crystal Palace. I've got 5 clues lined up, and just like any good tactical battle, it starts tight and cagey, but opens up as we go. So the further you get into it, the easier it should become, in theory. So, can you figure out who the very anonymous recruit is before full time? Let's play VAR. Are you ready, Andy?
A bit worried about this, to be honest with you, Neil.
Really?
Well, there's been a little smirk on your face for the whole of this podcast, which alludes me to think that you've gone obscure.
I don't think I have. You know all your youth team, yeah?
Well,
under-12s.
Here we go.
You know who they are?
Because every time I've played this for you and I've found one for you, I just get this little... Again, I get the same little smirk after the first one, which is, I won't guess it first time because I'm probably going to get it right and ruin the whole thing.
No, right. Okay, so look, we'll get started. Now, remember, right? Yeah. So I've got 5 clues for you.
Yeah.
But remember, we want everyone at home to play as well. So yeah. What we're going to do is, you've got that pen there and that bit of paper, right? So yeah. When you think you know after each clue... You let me know, you write it down, okay, when you finally decided on your one, okay? Yeah. If it's after the first one, you're a genius. Second, third, you're getting better, you know your squad. Fourth one, probably shouldn't turn up next week. Fifth one, give back your season ticket, all right?
Okay.
Okay, mate, right. So, here we go. Clue number one. Born on the 21st of January, 1998. And no, you're not allowed to Google this.
Okay. 21st of January, 1998.
For those at home that are listening, Andy is looking up to the sky. Now he's looked down to his hand and he's using his hand to count. I don't think he can get up to 27, which is the age he needs to think of. But he's getting there. Right, okay. Andy.
Right, so the 27.
Well done. So
right.
We got there.
Okay.
Any ideas?
You wouldn't think I actually look after quite a lot of money at work. And that took me, that actually did take me too long.
Finance, yeah. Okay. Worrying.
No, I don't work in finance, Barrett. Don't worry, everyone. Okay, 27-year-old. Mate, the net's too wide.
Yeah, it is.
The net's too wide.
Moving on.
We've got to carry on.
Okay, clue number two.
Yeah.
The club that he has the most appearances for is in the Bundesliga.
Ah.
Oh, wow. Suddenly.
Oh, okay. 27.
I might have given this away too easily because you're now thinking he looks more sprightly.
27.
So the club that he has the most appearances for plays in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Are you going to write it down? Are you confident enough to write it down is the question.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's right. Okay. He's writing it down, his answer. This is annoying if he gets this right. Okay. Okay. Number three for everyone else at home, and hopefully for Andy's embarrassment when he realizes he's got it wrong. In total, he has played in 5 different countries, including the Italian Serie A. Oh no, he looks really smug.
Yeah.
You got it, have you?
Yeah, oh. I mean, to be fair, though,
there's not many in the squad.
But there is now. There's more than there was. But
okay.
There's not many that have played abroad
that
in
much.
That depth.
Yeah, I agree.
So you have actually made it reasonably easy
well,
for
well, there
me
you go there. Then. Good. Okay.
Bearing in mind, we normally buy players from the Championship,
yeah.
Mate.
Okay, so number four for everyone else at home. He has earned 26 caps for his international side, nicknamed Kokasti, or the Checkered Ones.
Yeah. Which makes sense because of who it is.
Yeah. And last clue, if you haven't got it by now, then you probably shouldn't be supporting Palace. He signed for Palace on the 25th of July, 2025. Andy, who is it?
Borna Sosa.
Hey!
Well done, mate. That's a good one, that. That is a good one.
Well done.
And he's also had an haircut since he's come and joined us.
I wasn't going to put that on.
Yeah, he's lost quite a lot of hair.
Should I do that the first clue? He's had a haircut.
Yeah, he looks a bit more presentable now, actually. No, mate, that's a good one, that. And I say it's a difficult one because I think if you'd have gone another way, which you probably will next time, came up from the Championship,
like young 78 player. Players you've got there. Yeah.
You know, I think it takes you a different route. But I'll be honest with you, one thing I'm not great at is the age of players in the squad.
Brilliant.
I'm not great at that.
Thanks for telling me that. I'm going to write that down for next time.
Well, obviously the first clue didn't really get me anywhere, did it? But no, yeah, Croatian international. And I'm hoping turns out to be a good player. Jury's out at the moment. Great crosser of the ball, though.
Yeah, I agree. Great crosser of the ball. Congratulations, Andy. You're not a failure. You can now show your face at Selhurst Park again.
That's all right. Respectable second guess, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was...
V-A-R.
Who are you?
Okay, mate, before we leave the listeners, I think we probably should do a little bit of a preview of the upcoming games for Palace and Brighton. Now, Crystal Palace are facing Bournemouth at home, I believe.
Yeah, we're back at home, and we've got Bournemouth, who normally, Neil, wouldn't be such a bad game.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's not one of them ones that you look at in the fixture list in a normal situation and go, ooh.
I honestly think we spoke about it right at the beginning of the season. I wasn't expecting Bournemouth to be as good as they are this season. I was thinking, you know, they've sold a couple of their players. Their manager looks like he might be going somewhere at one point. And then suddenly, lo and behold, where are we now? Fourth in the league, I think they are. Bournemouth played 7, won 4, 14 points. Thanks very much.
Mate, they sold 3 members of their back 4.
Yeah.
And they lost their on-loan goalkeeper. And yet are...
Well, it just doesn't even look like anything's changed, does it?
Well, I mean, look at... I mean, Palace have been getting all the plaudits, right? And they're doing better than us.
I agree. Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, currently sat in 3rd, I think.
Yep. Fourth, actually, yeah.
Oh, is it fourth now?
Well, I suppose tied 4th on points, but goal difference-wise, they're actually in 4th, yeah. 14 points.
Wow. Wow. And do you know what their only loss was this season? Liverpool at Anfield.
Oh, yeah, of course, first day of the season.
Which they lost 4-2, by the way.
And they came back, didn't they? Yeah.
I think it was 2 goals from Semenyo.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, and talking of that man there, he is their top goal scorer with 6 and also got their most assists as well. Mm. He's having a wonderful time, isn't he?
He really is having a wonderful time.
And in some way, single-handedly winning them games at some point as well. He's just, you know, single-handedly clearly the best player in that team. Mm. They obviously, look, I think, do I fear Bournemouth? I don't fear Bournemouth. I do have reservations about this game.
Right.
And I think this is a bit of an ongoing issue with me as a Palace fan that we're starting to find out here, that I don't like to dream too big because I fear success. Do you know what I mean though? Like I'm like when we're on that run, I was like, it's going to be the next game, isn't it? Is it going to be the next game? And obviously with every game that went by, I got more and more like, maybe it won't be, maybe it won't be. Mm. And then all of a sudden, away at Everton, it's like, ah, and under them situations. So my only concern now, right, is last time we had a slip up,
right,
on our run, we got spanked 5-0 by Man City, which was followed by a 5 or 6-0 by Newcastle, I seem to believe.
Yes.
And then we ended up back on our run again. Mm. So I'm just very much hoping that the team don't keep their heads down after the Villa game, and that the international break might have come at a good time for us to regroup and that we get things back up and running. I think it's going to be a high scorer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Bournemouth are playing so well, but you guys are playing so well. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those like...
But they also play pressing and counter-attacking style.
They do.
A little bit different to ours.
A little bit different, yeah.
They work on the channels a lot, as do we. And
yeah, their style is a little bit more gung-ho. They're not so much worried about their defence. They play out and they go for it. And yeah, interesting matchup.
I think that their gung-ho style, though, will leave us a few pockets to work in.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think if we're on our game, it's ours to win, and being at home as well. But I'll be honest, I would settle for a 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
And I think that there's going to be a minimum of 4 goals in this game. That's a bit of a statement for you.
That is.
Well,
really,
if you have a look at Bournemouth's recent games, there's goals that fly in all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's going to be, I mean, it's not like watching two teams managed by hands against each other where it could be 20 all, but I think, I do think it'll be a high scoring game.
Fair enough.
But I really don't think it's going to be easy, mate.
No.
Who would have thought Palace versus Bournemouth, Clash of the Titans? I mean, come on. But yeah. And also, mate, let's not forget this, and you're going to hate me for saying this.
Go on.
This game has quite a big impact at the top side of the table.
Well, yeah. I mean,
whoever wins this gets up in the echelons again of Champions League.
Tracy, oh, shut your face.
It's true, though. Only with 8 games gone, but I know. It's true. So, but it will make a big difference.
Yeah.
At the top of the table. And then, of course, I think the game after that, we've got Arsenal, which, mate, if Palace win their next 2 games, we could be up there.
Oh, so
let's
depressing.
See what happens. And also, don't forget, we've had a really tough start to the season with our fixtures, right? So at some point, our fixture list will get a little bit easier over just before the Christmas period and so on. Remember, we've got our easier bit coming up, which we'll probably have a massive downfall on. But if we don't...
A man can only dream, Andy. A man can only dream.
Yeah. But I think the point being is, if you're playing the people above you or around you, then there's... Yeah, there's a lot going on there, isn't there? But
there
if
is.
You're playing the people below you and you win, then you can really move your way up, can't you? So let's just see. I do think I'm being hesitant on a 2-2 draw.
Okay.
Sorry, Palace fans. I do believe, though, really.
I think that's a good result, though, as you said. If it does end up a draw, that would, yeah, exactly.
I'll take it.
Fair enough.
Who have you got?
So we're in mid-table mediocrity of... We're playing the team in 11th as we are 12th. Same points as us. Similar start to the season, really. We've got Newcastle.
Which I can't believe they're there.
No. I mean, if you look at even just their last, like, 5 games, they've got 2 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss. Brighton have got 2 wins... 2 draws, 1 loss. I mean, we're playing the very similar in that sense this season so far. I mean, yeah, it's Newcastle is a strange one because they're a tough team to beat.
Yeah,
they really are. They're a physical team and they're a tough team to beat. However, against them recently, our last 5 games against Newcastle in the league, anyway, at least, have been pretty good. We drew 1-1 with them at the Amex last time. We won 1-0 away at the beginning of last season, 1-1 a draw in May the season before, a 3-1 win for Brighton, and a Newcastle win 1 before that. So if I look at it as the last 4 games against Newcastle, we haven't lost. We've had 2 draws, 2 wins. So I'm very happy about that. The current way we are playing with the current players that we have in form against the current way that Newcastle are playing with the current way that their players are in form, I think physicality is key here. And I think they have too much for us, if I'm honest. It all comes down to, are any of our players that are out of form going to suddenly turn up? And that's ultimately what it comes down to, doesn't it? It's like,
Neil, man.
How are we? I can't sit here, and I've been doing this for the last 7 weeks now. I can't sit here and predict a scoreline. I have no clue what's going to happen.
Do you know what? The reason I'm laughing is because I don't think we've done a single Brighton prediction where the words, we're still called in which Brighton team turns up, comes out of your mouth, because it's so true. And I don't like. Pundits, bookies, all them lot whose job it is to work out what happens here, I bet they're hating what's going on at Brighton right now, because they just, how do you even call it?
No way. There's
how
no
do you
way.
Even call it? Oh, I do think you're right, though. I do think they're going to get the better of you.
But going back to my swooping statement, right, I'm not going to go over it again, but that's the whole point, isn't it?
Like,
we're sitting here now going, I haven't got a clue. We don't even know who's going to play. We don't know the way that they're going to play. We don't understand who's in form, who's not. We don't, like... We don't know what the tactics are going to be. I can't even tell you if we're going to do what we did against Spurs, which was some sort of weird counter-attacking long ball rubbish, or we're going to do a high press like we did against Chelsea, or we're going to slow it down and play across the sides like we did against Wolves, or all of them haven't been particularly great. So,
question for you, Neil.
Mm.
Off topic.
Oh, yeah.
What is
your favourite colour?
A good finish. For Brighton, a good realistic finish. Obviously, first, right? But like, where should you be? Because I'm getting annoyed with you, mate. I'm getting annoyed because I'm hearing doom and gloom, but you're sat in 12th. You are just at the top of the bottom half of the table. And I think you are, in my head, I think you're 2 or 3 points away from where you probably should be. I don't think that Brighton should be dreaming. Well, you should always dream, but I don't think you should be achieving much more than that if you look at what else is going on in the league. And by the way, as a disclaimer, Neil, sorry, as a disclaimer, Palace are overachieving based on our current situation is right now, and we all know that, right? So this is not about Palace to Brighton. Where do you think you should be?
Finished?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I think that my mind hasn't changed. I think Brighton should be where they should be at the end of the season is around 8th, around 7th. It's around that area. Top 10, pushing for Europe. Whether we get there or not is different, but I would like us, and I think we should be, around that area where we are hopefully either in the Conference League position or Europa League area fighting for it come the last couple of games of the season. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I hope for. At the beginning of the season, that was what it was. But right at this moment, it isn't about league position. It's not about points. It's not about any of that. It's not about goal difference. It's about identity. Not going to go over it again.
No, mate, I get it. I think my point being, though, is that I think this is probably one of the most competitive Premier Leagues that we're seeing in years and years and years.
Absolutely.
And that actually the nature of being a mid-table club, like potentially we both are, right? We are both in that area, which means that you win one, you lose one, you draw one, you win one, you lose one. And that's how you end up with around 40 to 50 points in a season.
And I agree with you that I would take it now. If I see a Brighton team playing good football, expansive, exciting football, giving it a go, and we still end up 10th, 11th, 12th, I actually would be happy.
Okay.
Because I know the players on the pitch and the manager has done everything they can and perform to a level that they should be performing to. The issue is at the moment the performance, not the points.
No, I get it. I absolutely get it. So I guess what we're saying is you are two or three points away from where you probably should be. You're one win away. It's just the nature of how it's happened.
It's the nature, yeah.
And from a Palace point of view, I'm just hoping and praying we cling on and keep it going. And I still don't quite know how we're there, really. But
let's
keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Well, that's it for another episode of Seagull Eagle. Thanks for listening.
Indeed. Please follow us to make sure you get each episode.
Not on the street, just on social media though, yeah? Don't just say follow us because there's all sorts of people out there, mate.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, thanks.
Please electronically follow us to make sure that you get each episode as it lands. You could also find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and X, but not on our personal accounts. Stick to the Seagull Eagle thing just for security reasons.
Probably wise.
Search Seagull Eagle, or you could email us at seagulleaglepodcast@gmail.com, but keep it professional.
I like the TikToks. We'll be back next week to talk all things action from Palace game against Bournemouth plus Brighton's game against Newcastle. Oh, and there's a preview of the next European game against Larnaca for Palace. Until then, though, seagulls!
Seagulls! TikToks!